South Africa.
Shout out to Carl Word.
Felix, how are you? How is it going? Thanks so much for taking the time out to chat with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for taking the time as well. I'm doing well. It's been quite a ride with the album, and now that it's out, I'm feeling a bit relieved, to be honest. It's quite okay, it's done.
You know, that this is the biggest thing, is you know that you pour your heart into this work and you finally have it out and released to everybody. I mean, how does that feel after putting together? I mean, obviously there were some tracks that were out before, but piecing it together as an album, how does that feel now that it's out to the public? You know, I mean, from prior to being private to yourself, it's all out now.
Yeah, it feels amazing. I love it. I feel relieved, and I'm already thinking about new projects again. I just love it. It's been quite a process, this album. I already started writing for it in April 2018. I had like two different titles. I had like at least 100 different running orders of tracks. I made over 100 tracks to end up with 15 in the end. So even when we started releasing the first singles after my first album, I already had like an album playlist on my computer, and I just like constantly changed it up and developed it. And whenever I had a songwriting camp and I had new songs, I was like, okay, let's put this song third. Maybe this one, no, this one comes off. Then I had a second playlist with options for the album. Like, these could potentially come in, but I don't know yet. It's been such a process. It's crazy.
So you said it's the process started in 2018. So it wasn't necessarily a product of this lockdown and God knows what we've been through over the last almost 2 years. Dare we say it?
No. It hasn't been, but of course this time of lockdown has affected it for me musically, actually, in a positive way, because there used to be a few songs on the album that were a bit more melancholic and sad. And when I saw all the negative news out in the world and everybody being depressed already, I was like, oh God, no, I can't. I'm a DJ. I need to make people happy. I don't want to put out sad songs.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So I took them off the album and I made some newer, happier songs.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the things I noticed, you know, throughout the whole album and throughout the music that you put together and put out as a whole, is that there's this great contrast between the music having such an uplifting and happy feel, but also from a lyrical point of view, there's quite a serious message that comes with that. I mean, how's that journey of maintaining and creating that hybrid been for you over all these years?
It's quite a challenge, I would say, but it's also a lot of fun because I love both. I'm like, I'm a complex character, like we all are, and I love the deep talks and the deep messages, and I went through some times of suffering before, and I kind of want that to be part of the music as well. But then in the end of the day, I'm a DJ and I'm an entertainer, and I want to make people dance and I want to make people happy. So I'm always making sure that the music stays positive and uplifting overall. So basically it's just a consequence of me as a person that's like a bit everywhere. I love a bit of everything, and I also wanted the music to reflect that.
Yeah, no, and it all joins together like so amazingly. And you know, before we get into the album in particular, congratulations on it. As you mentioned earlier, it was a process of, you know, checking tracks in, checking tracks off, and having this bank of music on your laptop or computer, I'm sure, going, this is in, this is out, this is in. I mean, that process alone, it must be a nightmare, quite daunting for you when you're actually piecing this together.
Yeah, there were like a lot of nights where I thought I'd stop working, and I couldn't stop thinking about it, and I like went back to the studio, listened to the songs again, was like, no, this doesn't make sense, I need to find another one. And then I like sometimes I did writing sessions and I was like, you, I have this album playlist, but there's a track 8 missing. We need something that's kind of like this.
Yeah. No, exactly.
But yeah, I loved it. It was like, yeah, it was also like kind of an experiment for me to work on a concept piece, which this one is to me, at least. There's some, I don't know if everybody will get it or if they even care because it's a dance album, but there's a lot of meaning behind it for me personally. And that was like what was driving me the past 3 years, because I needed a new purpose, a new challenge, a new goal for my second album, because I already achieved pretty much everything on my first album. I was like, okay, so what's next? Why do I even create? What do I want to do? And I was like, okay, this is it. That's the way I want to go.
And it's great to hear that it was over quite a long period of time, because, you know, a lot of artists and a lot of DJs, they'll put together music in a short space of time, release it, and the music will generally have quite a short lifespan. And in this case, that's not the case. And it always shows when there's a lot of time put behind the music versus a short amount of time put behind the music, and then how relevant it stays. And it shows in your case, you know, that when there's the time, thought, and patience with it, and patience with yourself, I'm sure, as you said, it's been a tricky process, and it's something that never exits your mind. You know, you've got to go through this all the time.
So what was really interesting for me to see myself is how the album shaped up as I was developing, because for the past 3 years, I personally changed quite a bit, and I went through like a lot of transforming experiences. I did therapy. I did a lot of meditation. I dug really deep within myself. And while I was changing, the music was also changing. So I started off with like writing sad songs, and none of these actually ended up on the album. And the writing itself was kind of like therapy as well. It was quite healing to just write those songs and to listen back to them and to live with them. And as I was developing myself, the music also developed. And I'm really glad that I now release the album in a phase where I'm feeling happy and I'm feeling connected to myself. And I can actually say, okay, this is what I want to be out there. Because if I had released my album 2 years ago, it wouldn't have been as nice. It was kind of sad. And a sad album doesn't make sense as a DJ.
sure. No. Exactly. You got to keep people smiling, even though there may be subliminal messages in the lyrics. As long as people keep smiling, I think that's the main thing. And you know, outside of the album, and a big part of this podcast, After Hours, you know, and for me in general, a huge, and you touched on it now, a huge part of it is, you know, speaking with artists such as yourselves about mental health and addressing the awareness of it, well, here in South Africa and globally, you know, and everybody has their own story, but I'm curious about your journey through mental health over the last couple of years with regards to putting the album together, as well as dealing with, you know, and this isn't the be all and end all of the conversation, because I actually can't stand having conversations be about the pandemic. So prior to that as well, you know, how was that, and how has it affected your career, where you're in a good space now and you can look back to a point and say, you know, all of it went through this for a reason, and you put yourself in these positions to better yourself, and the outcome has been phenomenal for what you've just said.
Yeah, I can definitely, like, from my perspective today, I can say it was all worth it, and I'm super grateful for everything I went through, because it made me the person I am today. And I'm feeling good about myself and the world today. I'm feeling happy today, and everything that I experienced got me here. So I can only be grateful for all of that. But there were times where I didn't think like that at all. I suffered a lot of anxiety and panic attacks. I used to live a very isolated life. I like played the shows and went straight from the stage into my hotel room, feeling sad and lonely again. And it was very like complex to figure out why, because it had to do with a lot of insecurities that I was having within me, and a lot of stuff from my childhood. I did hypnotherapy to deal with some like trauma experiences from my childhood and stuff. And but it's like an onion, you know, you peel it like layer by layer, and you always get deeper to the core of it. And eventually I did, and I managed to transform like all of my suffering, or at least now when I get sad or I feel lonely or frustrated, I don't get lost in it anymore. I don't judge it anymore. I just accept it as part of life. You know, it's always going to be ups and downs. I'm not happy all the time, every day, but I don't get lost in it anymore. And I now have the tools through meditation and breathing exercises and sports and a lot of like just like habits that I integrated in my everyday life to be in charge and to be in control and to always bring myself back to the present moment and stop getting lost in my thoughts and fears.
Yeah, and that's so commendable and so amazing to hear, because not a lot of people can say that they can do that, especially from a tour perspective. You mentioned how it was going from playing to a crowd, then going back to the hotel room. Not many followers, fans, or listeners take that into consideration. That yes, it may seem glamorous, but I think there's also the impact of you're playing to thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and then all of a sudden from being in front of those people and dealing with everybody around you to going back to a hotel room in a strange country and you're alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's gotta play a role, sure. You know, from going from one side of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah. The contrasts are huge. And then especially when you end up playing up to five shows in a weekend, it's quite intense when you have like those peaks and then you get low again, then you go back up on stage, you go down again. And then you also start being like tired and lost. You don't really know where you are anymore. Like there were times where I was touring throughout the entire year. I missed every single birthday. I missed every party at home. I didn't see my friends. It was always amazing parties. But, you know, I kind of felt out of place. And then when I was already anxious and I closed myself off from other people, I didn't even feel the love and the connection anymore with the people around me. I felt kind of isolated on stage, just like putting on an act and then going back to my room, feeling all sad and lonely again. It was definitely not healthy. But on the other hand, as I said already, it forced me to look deeper and to find answers. And I did so. It's all good in the end.
You know, with that and what you just touched on now, relationships over busy periods such as that, especially in the entertainment industry and in yours with a crazy touring schedule such as what it was pre-pandemic and what it's going to be now, you know, how important is it, and how was the, I mean, was there a trial and error for yourself in terms of finding the right people of who you work with as part of your team? Because, you know, the people that you bring on and bring in have got to kind of have this ability to deal with you on a personal level, and then you on a work level as well, and deal with it on both sides, because, you know, you're going traveling and it's just you.
Yeah.
And then there's the show where you're performing. So, I mean, from a team perspective, has that been something that you've always been conscious of?
Not always. I've went through a lot of tour managers in particular over the past few years. Yeah. And then I had a great idea in 2019 when my previous tour manager quit because he didn't want to do the job anymore. He didn't want to travel so much anymore. And I was like, at that time, I had a weird phase where I wasn't really feeling good anyway. And I was like, fuck, what do I do? Do I even want to continue this whole thing? I was like, what am I doing this for? Blah, blah, blah. I'm feeling shit. And I was like, so I was facing like a when I suddenly had no tour manager. I was like, what do I do? Like, if I now just bring on a stranger, I'll feel terrible.
Yeah.
So I ended up calling one of my best friends from high school already. We grew up together. We started DJing together. And he wasn't in the industry at all, but he's DJing himself. So he knows about the tech and all the basics of this culture. And I managed to convince him to become my tour manager. So since then, I've been traveling with my best friend. And that's a big, big change, of course, because we just like go on adventures together now. And it's so much fun. And within like three shows, he learned everything. I think his second show ever as my tour manager was main stage at Perucaville in front of like 40,000 people. That was quite intense. And he was like doing the special effects and stuff.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. But it was okay. He learned fast.
And yeah.
Also, I had already been touring for 4 or 5 years. So I could basically tour manage myself as well. And I knew like what we have to deal and take care of. So this was a interesting transition phase, but so worth it, and such a blessing as well that I have the opportunity to build my own team and surround myself with people that are good for me as a person as well, and most importantly also see me as a person, Felix, more than as the artist, Felix Yin, because they will always put my health and my mental health first and make sure that I'm feeling good.
That's why I actually asked you. It's so great to hear that that's the space you're in, because when it is somebody that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, or you don't know for very long, it can be quite, not strict, but you know, it can be quite difficult to get across your point. And you know, touring with your best friend, I mean, I don't think it could be better than that, because like you said, every time is an adventure, and for the both of you, you get to travel the world. So I mean, that's amazing.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, diving back into the album, and you touched on it earlier with regards to piecing the tracks together and the particular order in which they were in, and maybe I'm wrong. However, looking at the track listing, looking at the tracks, listening to it from start to finish, the track names in particular, they kind of have a subliminal message in that consecutive order. Was that kind of intentional?
Yeah, for sure. Especially the first 9 tracks. I really like following up each other. It's like it's a storyline, basically. So breathe like starts out as like the breathing mantra. It's literally just like breathe, inhale, let go, take time, and then free your mind and soul.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like the overall, like the intro, it's like the conclusion, it's everything, it's what this album is made for. And then it continues with Close Your Eyes, which is still a bit in the darker days. It's about like reaching out to people around you that are not feeling well at the moment. It says like, I just called to make sure you're not giving up, which is quite dramatic, I would say.
Sure.
When we wrote that, like, yeah, we didn't even just think about giving up in terms of quitting a job or something. We literally had like was in a suicide context, where we were like thinking like, fuck this mental health stuff. It's not just something people talk about on podcasts these days. It's actually real. And there's a lot of people suffering so much. And sometimes all we need is hope and somebody by our side that's telling us that it's going to be okay. And that's helping us to get through this time. And that's what this song is inspired by. It's about like being there for one another and reaching out to people around you and asking them how they are actually feeling, because often we don't even know, you know, they might be your colleagues at work and they manage to hide it in their everyday lives, but they might actually be suffering deep within. So it's about that. It's about truly like being there for one another and making sure everybody around you is all right. And then I Got a Feeling is about like leaving those days behind. It starts with, I didn't break, I made it out. Those heavy days don't bring me down anymore. So that's kind of where I was then, like one and a half, 2 years ago. It's like, can't really say when exactly it goes in ups and downs like little faces.
Yeah.
And it's about like the realization that I now had that, you know, those days are now in the past and they don't affect me anymore. And I made it out and I can now like let the light in and go out and enjoy life again. And then after that, it continues with songs like Somebody You Like and Old Me and Happy, that are then already like back to the present moment. The old me is talking about finding love again. It's like in a dating relationship context, where it's about like, you know, I had my doubts, but that was the old me. I actually had that as well, where like I dated and I met somebody, but I wasn't ready for it. And then like I didn't call him for like 4 weeks or something, and he thought I was like being a douche or I'm just a fuck boy or whatever. I was like, no, I didn't fuck anybody within those 4 weeks. I'm the opposite, you know. I was too anxious. Yeah. I didn't have the confidence to go out and date in public and be with you and be there for you. But that's the old me. That's in the past now. Here I am. Let's go. I'm ready to go all in. That's what old me is about.
It must be a great feeling to, you know, put that record on the album. And also at the same time, whenever you look at that record and you go back to that track in particular, you can always look at it and use that as kind of like a benchmark of how far you've come, which is not something many artists do with regards to their records. You know, you're putting together a timeline of your life and your struggles and particular moments within your life, which have honestly come together on the album so poignantly, where from old me, like you say, it's amazing that you can, and then look back in it and say, okay, cool, that was one chapter in my life, and here we are now at in a better space.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to chat about, and I know this is later on in the album, but I want to chat about the record No Therapy and how that resonates with the rest of the album.
No Therapy is kind of, it's like the conclusion of it all in a way. It's to me, it's an anthem of self-empowerment. It's like, we be who we want to be. It's about just loving and being yourself. And most importantly to me, it's also a track for the LGBTI plus community and for myself, because I often growing up felt like I wasn't okay, like I had to change to fit in or whatever. And there's still like, I just met a guy like the other day whose parents actually wanted to put him into therapy when he said he was gay. And he was like, okay, you know, you can do therapy. Maybe you can love a woman after all. And it's like, people need to understand that's stupid. You know, it's rude. There's no reason to do it. It also doesn't work. You know, you don't decide to be gay or bi or trans or whatever. You just are. It's like, it's just like your true self. And that's also like another meaning that No Therapy has, which is a little bit more extreme. It's like, no, we don't need no therapy, you know, just let us be who we are, you know, we be who we want to be.
Yeah, that's what I took from it. Referring back to old me, I mean, was that part of coming to terms on your side, or at least with people around you, especially when you couldn't see you said you had so much anxiety and you're going through something for 4 weeks, you couldn't speak with anything, you know, it was obviously time for you as well.
Yeah, old me starts with, I used to live up inside my head, all those things I never said. And it's like, when I was still insecure about my sexuality, for me mainly, like, it was my sexuality. There's lots of other little bits and pieces that came together throughout the life. Of course, a lot of things I've collected from my childhood, I had to let go again. Like we all do.
You can collect.
We are born pure and then we collect all this shit, and then at some point we have to let it go again. And it's like, I used to overthink a lot, and I always lived in my head because I was always afraid or worried. So I overthought situations. I already tried to come up with possible outcomes of the situation. What could happen if I do this or that? And by doing that and by thinking so much, I was tired. I was anxious and I didn't live. I wasn't there in the moment. Yeah, that's the old me, basically.
I can 100% relate to that, because it's something from a personal perspective, you know, dealing with that exact few points that you listed. It's not an easy thing to go through just from anxiety as a whole. You know, there's so many different aspects that affect that, and especially will affect you in the height of a crazy different lifestyle compared to anybody else. That one, there's various parts of your life that people may not understand. And then there's the other part of your actual work also nobody really understands what you go through. Like we mentioned earlier, you know, you can go from being around thousands and thousands of people and then going back to isolation in a hotel room in the middle of nowhere, not necessarily knowing where you are, after doing 5 gigs a weekend. So, you know, that's terrific to hear and amazing to see the transformation that is portrayed on the album. Mm. Another thing that I generally, you know, in some way, and in some way bring this up with various artists that I speak with, and it purely comes down to the fact that there's a personal side to an artist where you are piecing something together, sketching an idea of music or writing something down from a lyrical point of view, and no one's the wiser. No one has any idea that you're putting this together, and no one would know whether you released it or not. However, like you said, you've got a tremendous amount of music that hasn't been released. And obviously, I'm sure you have some sketches and ideas of music as well that haven't been released that either will be too sad or too personal. But at what point, when going through and you go back and you go through some of these records, at what point do you go, okay, cool, this was mine, and I put this together to get through a certain point in my life? Because, you know, writing music, putting music together and listening to music alone is therapy in itself. But at what point for you, when you go through some of these sketches and ideas, would you say, all right, this one piece of work in particular, this I've got to release to the world and actually have them be part of that process, or that piece of music is portraying a particular message? Not that you haven't done it already, but for any of the others.
I guess for me, what was the most important with this album is that I can feel it 100% at the time I'm putting it out. And if I would have released my album 2 years ago or 1 year ago, it would have been a completely different album. There's like a couple of songs that were always safe to be on the album. I was always like, okay, I really love this. Like Close Your Eyes, for example, was one of the very early songs, and I still love it. It's still there. But then again, there are even some singles like Love For Myself and Sicko that we already released as singles prior to the album. But I didn't end up actually putting on the album, because now, like, yeah, 2 or 1.5 years later, when we released the album, I didn't feel like they really resonate with me anymore, and they didn't portray what I wanted to bring across. So with this album and my wish for the music to be so authentic and personal, the challenge was that I changed quite a bit, yeah, very fast.
Yeah. Sure.
And that's also, I feel like, why I had to make so many songs, and I changed the playlist so many times, or the track list so many times, because I changed. I was already happy with the album how it was 2 years ago, but then it was still called Why Do I, not Brief. I had a different title for it, actually. The album used to be called Why Do I, and there was a song talking about the wheel of Why Do I. It was like it started stuck on the floor, locked all the doors, pushed to the floor, stuck, lock all the doors, stuck in the wheel of why do I feel down, yeah, down. I don't want to talk, I already got too many thoughts inside of me, and they go round, round. So this was like a verse where it's like literally like we're in an inner panic attack, yeah, like full anxiety, yeah, on. <it's... laughs> and when I was feeling that, and I still experienced that, I was like, okay, so I also want to talk about it in my art. Mm. But now, luckily, that's in the past, and I didn't experience a panic attack anymore in a very long time. So I also didn't really feel the need to share that anymore.
Do you ever think that even though you're good and in a great space, you'd ever share something like that, even if it's under an alias, for that matter?
Maybe, yeah. If it's under an alias and it's a concept piece in that regard, where I'm just focused on that topic and I want to get that message across, I would do it, yes. But for Felix Zien, now that I'm feeling good again, and I mean, I started with Feel Good Music, and I'm happy that I'm back in that state of mind now. So I think it would be rather disturbing and confusing for my fans to now put on a song like that. Like, oh no, not exactly. Again, what's wrong with him?
No, for sure. No, 100%. But, you know, Felix, it's been such an honor to chat with you. And I know we could probably chat and go on for hours. it really is so great to have connected with you. You know, without sounding all cliched, it's I've been following your music for a while and I'm a big fan, and it's so great to connect. And you know, albeit all sorts of generic as a question, which I truly generally like to stay away from, but how is the rest of 2021 looking for you, and how are you feeling about it?
Well, first of all, thanks to you as well for taking the time. I really enjoy this conversation, and I feel like you're glowing. I don't know your entire personal story yet, but whatever you did, it seems to work. You have a really positive energy that you bring across, so thanks for that as well. And in regards of 2021, next week I'm already going back to the studio when the promo is done. I have a couple of like singles lined up already for next year, but I right now I want to try something. I don't know if it's ever going to come out. I need to work around it. I want to go a bit faster, maybe around 130, 140 BPM instrumental with some world music influences, and see what I can come up with in like club festival regards, because right now I did a lot of like lyric oriented music, a lot of like poppy vibes, and I started out as a DJ, and I am a DJ, so now I feel like it's time to do something for the clubs. I want to just like, my next goal is to produce a track that I want to play in every single DJ set forever. so that's something that's,
yeah,
high energy.
And keep it super high energy, because the audience is going to be high energy for the next couple of years after this down that they've had.
I also feel like after this down, music is just getting faster.
It really is.
At least I can say from my personal taste and what I enjoy dancing to, like I used to be in a down tempo phase, and right now I just want it to be fast.
Yeah, that also kind of pertains to your mood. From a down tempo phase, it would generally be quite, you know, calming. Mm-hmm. But anything that's faster and more exciting from that matter, yeah, you know, yeah, one, it's gonna resonate with you, but also resonate, yeah, with the crowd to, sure, come that you play it, which, yeah, is amazing.
And then
I'm excited to hear that.
What I'm also really excited about, and this could go hand in hand nicely, is the club tour I'm doing in Europe in November and December. Finally the clubs have opened up again, so I can start playing some shows again, and I'm really hyped for that, and hopefully I can already play my new club banger then and test it. Yeah, exactly. Test it in the clubs.
Yeah, give it a bit of a road test.
Yeah, so and that's it. Yeah, the road test 100%. You got to do that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, especially over this period, it's been tough for artists not to actually test these records out that they're making before releasing them. So,
and also to not get any feedback in life experiences, to be honest, because I personally started DJing when I was 16 years old. I was DJing at student nights and local clubs in Germany. And then I started producing music because I realized, okay, I want to take my career to the next level. I also want to have my own records. I want to play on big stages. You know, I don't just want to be playing student nights from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m.
No. Oh,
like
my God.
Playing through all, yeah, genres. I want to, you know, I want to be an artist doing my own thing. And that's when I started producing music. And after the success, I suddenly started to be a celebrity that had to do interviews and go to, yeah, award shows and do all of that. And now, because of the pandemic and no live shows, suddenly my job was to do social media and to release a song every now and then. But I was like, I'm doing all of this,
yeah,
DJ, right? Yeah. This is all just so I can play shows.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But if I can't do any shows, what's the point?
Yeah, no, exactly. It was a cycle for months and months on end. You know, it was like, what does one do?
But yeah, I think we're across that time now. Hopefully, like at least let's see what's going to happen. But it at the moment, at least over here in Germany, it looks like the clubs are going to stay open. And both like as an artist and also whenever I have a day off, I can't wait to be in the clubs and dance and party again.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for your time. And I look forward to hopefully catching up again soon later down the line. And yeah, we'll definitely be.
Yeah, I would love that.